Well, we're here. We got here. This is the night that a lot of us have probably been anticipating. We come here, we bring all sorts of baggage with us. Like literally baggage. It's only a weekend and you guys are packing like you're going to Hawaii for a week. I know your youth minister told you it's only a weekend and you're like, yes, vacation for a week. We all come with baggage, whether it's luggage or stuff that we carry in our heart. One thing that I know for certain is that we all, in some way, shape, or form, suffer. Amen? We all have some sort of suffering in our life, but we all suffer differently, and I want to tell you a few stories about that. I want to tell you a story about my wife, Pam. Now, I asked her permission before I shared this story, so you said it was okay. My wife and I are like, we're awesome. We're a great team. When we were having our first child, I say we, you'll find out in a second why we, even though she was the one who was pregnant, even though I look like I'm pregnant. When my wife, it was like about like a few weeks out until our baby was going to be born, and she wrote down like this wish list of things that she wanted for the birth. So I grabbed a piece of paper, and she said, baby, I need you to write this down. I said, anything for you, girl? She said, I would like soft music played in the hospital. I said, all right, soft music. We're going to get relaxed. We're going to relax. She goes, I want a yoga ball in the hospital. I said, all right, we're going to play dodgeball in the hospital. All right, sweet. Bring the yoga ball. Anything for you, girl. She goes, I want the baby to come in as natural as possible. I don't want no drugs, no nothing. I just want the baby to come. The one mother that knows what I'm talking about just laughed right now. She goes, I want nothing. I said, anything, baby girl, I got you. And she wrote it down on the list, and we had this list. It was a real long list. I only gave you three of the top, but there was a lot on that list. We got to the hospital, and we were just sitting there together. I was watching her suffer. And she's like, baby. I'm like, yeah. She's like, bring me the list. I said, where you want on the list? She goes, the list. She grabs the list, she looks at it, and she rips it into a million pieces. She says, get me the juice. I said, what do you mean? What kind of juice do you want? And she's like, the juice. So I run outside. I'm like, nurse, doctor, my wife needs juice, like apple juice or orange juice or pineapple juice, but she needs juice. And then she screams from the room. She goes, not that juice. Get me the epidural. I go, okay, somebody, anybody. The doctor comes in, and he's about to give her the epidural, and I'm just kind of curious about this whole thing because my wife is becoming a science experiment. And I creep up behind my wife as they're like, you know, I don't know what they're doing. And I'm like, oh, my. And the doctor yells at me, sir, get back. I'm like, yo, that's my wife, bro. You sticking her in, like, that's weird and scary, like a horror film. I go, Pam, if he hurts you, she goes, I'm in labor. I'm already hurt. My wife gave birth to an awesome baby girl. Her name was Cecilia. Her name is Cecilia. See, my wife is strong. Women... Moms, are you out there? Good job. Because us men, we can't take that level of pain. I get a man cold and I'm out of commission for a week or more. I come in and I'm like, baby, my nose feels like someone's holding me underwater. She goes, baby, it's a cold. I'm like, I don't think so. I can feel my life source dripping from my nostrils. I'm such a baby. We all suffer differently. See, my kids even suffer differently. Like my daughter, Cecilia, she suffers like me. She's had a headache all summer. The girl is so dramatic about stuff. You know what I mean? Like, she'll wake up and she's like, Dad, oh. And I'm like, you're so dramatic. And Pam goes, I wonder where she gets that from. I'm like, oh. Antonio, like, he suffers like his mom. He takes it like a champ. Like, all I hear is my son hit the ground and then jump back up and go, I'm okay. I'm like, are you sure, bro? Because you just fell off the bookshelf. I'm okay. I'm like, are you positive? Because you just ran into the wall full speed. I'm okay. We all suffer differently. The reason my wife is such a boss when it comes to suffering is because when a person brings life into the world, it hurts because it's hard. A life that brings a life into the world will suffer because it's hard. We all suffer differently. Our family suffered together about a few years ago. We were all getting in our van to go on a trip. The way I say the day, it makes it sound like it was this pleasant thing where, like, I woke up and we're like, guess what, family, we're going on a trip. But it wasn't like that, because it's like, you know, that backstage thing that Sarah was talking about. You know, you see the Instagram post with the filter, everything's cute. Then you see Triple Chin, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, she knows what I'm talking about. But that day was horrible. I was in a bad mood, and my wife's like, we're going to travel to Pennsylvania. I said, I don't know about that. I can't be sitting in the car for no 8 hours. We're going to go to the Outer Banks. I said, I don't know about that. I don't like the rain. What do you like? Can we just drive around in circles? Either way, it wasn't this beautiful trip, but we ended up, like, just driving and having a good time, and eventually we ended going to Mass. But see, what you don't know is that there was a hurricane that was, like, coming up the East Coast, and I'm from Virginia Beach, Virginia, and I'm, like, right on the East Coast. Yes, whoever you are. And that hurricane supposedly was supposed to come up and make a U-turn. Up and then a U-turn. Listen, I've been around for 38 years and I've never seen a hurricane make a U-turn. I mean, I've made U-turns because I've been lost, but I've never seen a hurricane do a U-turn. And all the meteorologists kept saying was, yeah, it's gonna make a U-turn. Except for this one model. It was this model from this, like, indigenous tribe that just has, like, a radio and a satellite made out of aluminum foil pointing somewhere. They just throw grass in the air and they're like, nope, it's going straight at you. And all the meteorologists were like, don't listen to them. But my gut wanted to listen to them. But either way, we did the trip, went to Mass. In Mass, we started noticing that it was raining, and then it was really raining, and then it was like, yo, it's raining. So when Mass was over, we got in the van, and I was driving, and I noticed that on the way back to the house, like, the road just started getting a little bit wetter. We started hydroplaning a little bit. I started getting a little bit nervous. And then we turned down my road, and I noticed that the fire hydrant that used to be at the corner was no longer at the corner. So I said, I'm not taking a turn down that road, and I decided to go straight, but little did I know that going straight, it was more flooded. So we went down that street, and then I took a right on that street, and that street was doomed for, and our car stalled out in the water, and I was freaking out. I have my kids in the car. I have my wife in the car. I started to freak out. And I opened up the door, and as I opened up the door, water started coming in the car. And I said, Pam, get the kids. We got to get out. She goes, what? I go, Pam, get the kids. We gotta get out. Baby, what's going on? Pam, get the kids. We gotta be out. I grab my kids and I jump into the flood water and we start walking to my house. Inside, I'm terrified. But together, we're holding it down. And we end up going to the house, and you have no idea how absolutely traumatized I am that I drove my family into danger. So I get into the house, we drive the kids off. I'm like, baby, I need 1 second. And then I went to the bathroom, and I wept. I was so scared, I wept. And then I wiped my tears off, and I went to my kids, and I went to my wife, and I had to be strong. And I was like, all right, we're just going to go to bed tonight, you know? Let's do our thing. I love you guys. She's like, what happened to the van? I'm like, it's with Nemo now. Don't worry about it. They went to bed, and I tried to assure our kids that everything was going to be okay so that they didn't have nightmares. But that night, I just perpetually had nightmares. To this day, when it rains, I freak out. It's kind of like this PTSD type thing, you know, like I really start to freak out. But when we suffer together, it's different, right? When we suffer together, it's different. When we suffer, we see that the yoke is heavy, but the burden is light. When we do it together as a family, we function together. See, after that incident happened, I was still kind of like shook up about rain, but I have this annual thing that I do with my baby girl. I take her on a date on Valentine's Day. On Valentine's Day, she gets dressed up in a beautiful pink dress, and I get dressed up and I wear my pink tie so I can match my baby girl. I buy her a flower, and then we go to Valentine's. It's kind of cheesy because I walk outside so that I could knock on the door and ask for CC, you know what I mean? It's so like out there, but it happens every year. And CC looks forward to that every year. This year, it was torrentially downpouring all day, and there was flash flood warnings all over our TV screen, and Daddy started to PTSD a little bit, and I almost canceled. I was about to cancel until I saw her come out in her pink dress, and she goes, Daddy, you ready to go on a date? My heart broke. Listen, a father will do anything for love for his children. A father will go beyond, far and beyond for his children. A father will sacrifice for his children. So without showing her that I was freaking out, I said, absolutely. Pam, where's the umbrella? Grab the umbrella, I walk my baby girl, I lead her to her car seat, I buckle her in, I close my umbrella, I get in the car, and I go, oh, Lord. I'm starting to freak out. So we're driving through this torrential downpour. I'm like, my baby girl deserves it. We get to this dance, and her face. I was going to show a video of her at this dance, but every time I see it, I cry. Because I'm Puerto Rican, and that's what we do. But she is so lit up. She's so happy. She's so ecstatic. This is awesome that she looked me dead in the eye at the end of her date, and she goes, Daddy, best day of my life. Best day of my life. And I could have thrown that all away. I could have thrown it all away if I just listened to that fear. But a daddy does things for his children. My son is afraid of horses. My son would not get on a pony ride. And one day we went, and I was like, Antonio, do you want to ride the pony? He goes, no. I'm like, you sure? He goes, okay. I'm like, can I come with you? He goes, uh-huh. So I grab his hand, and I walk him to the pony, and I put him on the pony. And he looks visibly shook up. And I look at me. Don't be scared, bro. You got this. You can do this. He goes, are you scared? And I look him dead in the eye. Yes. I hate horses, yo. They freak me out. I didn't tell him all that. I just said, yeah, I don't lie to my children. He goes, but why are you helping me? I'm like, because I love you. Get on the horse. And he's riding, he's like and he's waving back to me, and I'm like, that's my dude. See, because a father does things. He sacrifices for his kids. I looked Mr. Ed dead in the eye, and I said, you better take care of my son. When we suffer together, when we do things together, things start to change. Why am I telling you about what a father does? Because I'm just this little micro example of the love of God the Father. I'm not even perfect. I'm not perfect. Like, my kids get on my last nerve. My kids can annoy me. My kids get scolded occasionally. A lot. My kids love their daddy even through his imperfections. I'm not this perfect dad, but I'm a dad that knows that I only can model the love of God the Father. Like, my sacrifice comes from the man who sacrificed the most. My sacrifice is only visible because I saw how visible his sacrifice was. He gave his only begotten son because he saw a world that was suffering and needed salvation. Like, this is what a father does, right? A father does this because a father looks down and says, I love you. But we don't know about this, right? Because a lot of us are probably coming from, like, homes where daddies aren't exactly the greatest. But I'm going to let you know right now that we can't project our earthly dad's love on our eternal dad, on our heavenly father. We can't do it. We literally can't compare the two. Because no matter how perfect your earthly father is, he still pales in comparison. And I mean this respectfully. He still pales in how awesome God the Father actually is. I told my dad one time, I'm like, are you disappointed that I'm getting married? And my dad, his whole life, he had me, like, checked off as priest. Every time he talked about me, he goes, my son, the priest. So when I was going to get married, I was like, Dad, are you upset, man, that I'm going to get married and I'm not a priest? He goes, no, man, I'm not upset. I'll just pray that your son becomes a priest. But the one takeaway in the conversation with my dad was, listen, like, I love you, and my love pales in comparison to the love of God the Father. That's what he told me. Those were his words. We don't know that our God is willing to do things, but he did. He gave his only begotten son so that you and I can live, so that you and I can show up at a conference like this. So that we can give glory to him because of what he's revealed to us. So that we can get dressed up in our multicolored shirts, throw up the beach balls, wear the glow sticks and do all this stuff and get hyped and lit about all these things. Like, his son died so that we can have this moment, so that we can glorify him. Like, we all suffer differently, so there comes a point in time where you have to say to yourself, am I taking up my cross and following my Lord? Because love was revealed perfectly through that. The most perfect revelation of God's love for us was that cross. So are we taking up our suffering? Or when things get hard, are we wagging our finger at God and saying, why are you doing this to me? You don't know what it feels like, bro. What do you mean he doesn't know what it feels like? We get so mad at God when trials and tribulations come our way that we start shaking our fist at God and be like, well, God, why would you do this to me? A lot of the lead witnesses that we heard with that moment where their hearts were just so mad at God for the things that God had done to their lives. So you're probably sitting here and saying to yourself, like, man, I can't get into God because God did X, Y, and Z. Or I can't get into God because God doesn't know what it feels like. No, God knows more of what it feels like. In fact, as you suffer, he suffers more. His heart breaks more. If we were to have a vision of our Father, the vision like this, my daughter one time was just really shook up about something and started crying and all this other stuff. And my heart broke for her. So it wasn't like I was void of that hurt because it didn't affect me. It hurt that much more. And if I am modeling the perfect love of the Father, yet I'm this imperfect being that only pales in comparison to the amount of love I can give my children, can you imagine how much more God the Father suffers for us? So much, man. I don't think you guys realize this, and I'm telling you from the stage, I sometimes struggle with it too. Because God is so untouchable, right? We probably grew up all our lives thinking that this God was just this fairy tale. He's just as real as, and then you fill it in. We go through our whole life questioning whether our faith is strong. We come to these conferences on Friday night, we're hype. On Saturday, we're getting hype again. On Sunday, we're just kind of like, man, the world is out there. And I have to go back to that. I mean, it's crazy, right? Because when my wife wrote down that list of like all the perfect labor situation, she wrote it with this idea of a life without suffering. And we do that now. We have an opportunity right now to take all our suffering, all our baggage, everything that we have, everything that we came in with. We have an opportunity at this moment right now to say, Lord, I know that your yoke is heavy, but your burden is light. Like a yoke, man, is like you put that on two oxes and they go do work. So for scripture to communicate that the yoke is heavy, yes, it's a reality, the thing's heavy. But to say that the burden is light, that's hard. But that's to say that there is one other with you, that you don't take upon that yoke upon yourself, and that one other is Jesus Christ. And if y'all ain't feeling that right now, then someone needs to check your pulse, because our Lord wants to take upon that yoke with you so that you can walk through life, so that your burden is light. Simon was asked to take up the cross with Jesus. Simon did not want to do this because Jesus was a stranger. Why do I have to carry a cross for a stranger? I don't even know this guy. And as Simon journeyed with Jesus, he got to know Jesus, his hand with Jesus carrying that cross. By the time it got to a point where Simon had to let go, he didn't want to let go of Jesus because he grew to know him. Guys, that's what this weekend's about. It's about you getting to know him. Now, we all suffer differently, but the one common denominator of our suffering is that it is suffering. That it does create a stress or an anxiety in our life. But we're not meant to do it alone. You know, this summer something happened to me. And it was hard. It hit my wife hard and it hit me hard. All I've ever wanted to do ever since finding our Lord is to serve him. All I ever wanted to do was minister alongside our Lord, like knowing that he is the shepherd and I just want to be his shepherd boy. Just follow alongside him and minister to his people with him. So I was called to be a part of something where I can take my ministerial skills and kind of up it up a notch so that I can be more of a shepherd boy to my shepherd. 5 years. And for 5 years, I felt like something was wrong, like people that were involved in this just didn't like who I was. And I would try different things. Like, I remember one time I would like wear khakis, a button down, and a tie. Maybe it was the way I dressed. One point in time, I stopped telling jokes and I just listened. And another point in time, I just existed at one of the events. But I always got this underlying like feeling that these individuals just didn't like me. And then just about when I'm about to get this honor of being this minister, I get a phone call. And I go to my message, right? And I go to listen to this phone call. And it's basically like, hey, we would like to talk about your future in blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, all right, sweet. So I'm about to hang up the phone to call them up to talk about it. But I noticed that they didn't hang up. And the message continued. And in this message, I hear individuals talking candidly about my personal life. I hear them like plotting how to stop me from or how to kick me out. I hear things like he's a tortured individual. I hear things like I feel bad for his family. I'm concerned for his children. Yo, they started talking about me being sexually abused candidly. Like if it was some sort of coffee table discussion. And as I heard this message go on, my heart started to just break. I'm like, Lord, what is going on right now? Like, I feel like my ministerial life is coming crashing. I mean, to this moment, I'm going to be 100. Like, I'm even scared of saying this because I'm afraid of the lashback potentially. But Matthew 10:26 says, don't be afraid of them because what is hidden will be revealed and what is covered will be made known. Yo, let me be real for a second, man. Like, it wasn't that I'm not a part of what this was. It was the fact that my most intimate part of my life was exploited. Most intimate, most hurtful part of my life was talked about as if I was the problem. And essentially pointing the finger at me and saying, like, you are nothing but someone who was abused. That message went on for 6 minutes. I got mad at God. I'm like, God, man, like, I just want to serve alongside and be your shepherd boy. He goes, Oscar, for the first time, you now know what it means to be Christian. Yo, the same people that were waving palms, the same people that were greeting me, rushing at me for miracles and healings, they were the same people that started to scream, crucify him. The same people that he was found in the temple with when he was young, learning from them and them learning from him, those same people were screaming, crucify him. Yo, his boy who like dedicated his life to following Jesus, broke bread with Jesus, learned from Jesus. Jesus gave all of himself for him. Homeboy betrayed Jesus. He goes, for the first time, you know what it truly feels like to be rejected, dismissed, ignored. Oscar, don't tell me. We all suffer differently. But I suffered alongside you. You think I wasn't there when that phone call happened? You think I wasn't there when that phone call was currently happening? You think I wasn't on the other side of the phone call reaching out saying, hang up the phone. My son's going to be listening right now. And you're talking about his person. You think I wasn't there, bro? You think I wasn't there when you told your wife what happened and all she could do was break down and cry? Who do you think consoled her? It wasn't you, because you were currently broken looking for consolation. Yo, when we suffer together, we suffer together. Jesus asked us to take up the cross and follow him. He gave us an example of what to do, and tonight you have an opportunity. We all come in here with baggage, amen? We all come in here with something, and it's now time that we let that something go. Let it go before the cross. Let it know that God revealed himself through the beauty of that cross. And if you can do this tonight, I promise you, man, that you're going to leave a new person. You're going to ascend up those stairs into the reality of this life, and suffering's never going to hold you down.